Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 22nd day of February 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks from the Andersons will join us to take a look at the cash grain situation. They're right here in Champaign County. And we'll discuss the weather forecast with the guys up at Brisk Pulse. They're in Chicago. A bit later in the program, I'll take you through the agricultural news for the afternoon. And we'll update the situation as it's related to the pace of corn and soybean consumption. Daryl Good wrote about it on the Farm Doc Daily website this afternoon. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, where you can buy your tickets for All-Day Ag Outlook for just $30 right now at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago. On this Monday afternoon, futures in the corn pit were a bit higher, up 2 cents at $3.67.5. In the March, the May at $3.72.25, up 3. July at $3.77.25, 3.5 higher. In December corn, $3.19.25, up 3.75. March soybeans for the day, 2.75 higher, $8.81. May at $8.84.25, up 3.5. And July at $8.89, 3.75 higher. November beans, $8.91.5. Up 3.5 cents. Bean meal futures at $2.64.90, up 40 cents. The bean oil a dime higher, $31.49. Wheat futures March contract $4.58.5, down 3.25. July at the harvest, $4.71.75, down 2.25. That's the soft red. The hard red at $4.73.75, down 2.75 cents. Live cattle futures February contract $1.40 higher. They're currently trading at $136.77.5, and the April at $134.40, up 45 cents. Feeder cattle March contract at $155.15, down 72.5 cents for 100 pounds, and lean hogs at $68.95. They're a nickel higher. Don't forget that starting March 1, actually on February 29th, the CME group will change the settlement price or close of the livestock, and that will go to 1:05 p.m. Central Time. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580. WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana, other broadcast service as well.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Checking some of the outside markets at this hour, energies are trading the crude oil at $31.43 a barrel. They're up $1.79. Ethanol futures are a penny and 8 cents higher at $1.42.7. The price of gasoline on the wholesale, the RBOB, at $1.06 of a cent is a 4 1/10 of a cent higher, and heating oil for the day at $1.05 6 cents is up 3 cents on the afternoon. Natural gas at $1.82, that's a penny and 6 tenths of a cent higher, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now 222 points higher at 16,580. The U.S. dollar at 97.39, that's up 0.79. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,209.50 are down $21.30. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 44 for the afternoon. North-northeast winds at about 6 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 28 degrees. And then tomorrow, partly sunny sky and a high of 46 on an east-northeast wind at 5 to 9. And then Tuesday night, things get a little sloppy. A chance of rain, some snow after midnight. Cloudy, a low of 32. It'll be breezy on Tuesday evening with a northeast wind at 9 to 14. Gusting 17 to 22 after midnight, winds gusting all the way to 31. Chance of precipitation on Tuesday evening set at 50%. Wednesday, rain, snow, a high of 36. Chance of precipitation 80%. New snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches are possible on Wednesday. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. And on this Monday afternoon, it is the 22nd day of February. Time now probably to go online and buy that ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's Tuesday, the 8th day of March. It's the second Tuesday in the month, only a couple of weeks away now. And if you get in now, you'll get your ticket mailed to you. But pretty soon, we'll stop mailing them out. You'll have to pick them up there at the door. You don't want to have to do that. Just to get your ticket now. Out. They're just $30. The All-Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. A dozen of our regular on-air analysts, plus Gary Schnitke to go through crop insurance and the Arc County payments with you. Also, Emerson Knafziger will be there from the U of I, agronomist, and Brian Young, weed scientist from Purdue. They'll talk to you just a bit about the things you can and probably should not do to try to save some money as we head into this brand new growing season. The All-Day Ag Outlook is just $30. You get the Beef House meal at the noon hour. All day long, analysts with us, a dozen of them, and you also get rolling coffee in the morning. It's a great opportunity to visit with the folks you hear every day here on Illinois Public Media. Do it right now, willag.org, or call this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Don't wait. Do it right now. One of the folks that will be with us over at the All-Day Agricultural Outlook at the Beef House is Kurt Kimmel. He is from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. In fact, Kurt and Pete Manhart, his compadre there, will both be up on stage with us. Thanks so much for all the time you volunteer with us and for being over at the Beef House again this year.
Boy, looking forward to it. That's kind of the highlight of the meeting circuit during the winter, having a big event like that with a lot of big, interesting speakers to give their thoughts and opinions there, Todd.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it, and I know you always work a little hard. You going to do soybeans or corn this year? What do you think?
I'm on the corn panel in the afternoon this time. So.
Yeah, that's because you always have good numbers for soybeans, so I thought I'd switch it up with you a little bit. You're going to have a big surprise for us, work out some interesting figures that producers can listen to.
Well, we'll have a little bit more of a handle here as we see what the Outlook meeting says towards the end of the week here. Then also, too, as we get into March, there'll be more and more analysts put out some acreage expectations. So it's just a matter of plugging numbers into the supply-demand balance sheet and, you know, pursue that we're going to have normal weather this coming crop year. But we'll have to listen closely to the weather guys with El Nino switching to La Nina. That could see some disruption somewhere throughout the Midwest and maybe ding yield prospects. But in the meantime, we saw some resumption of consumer confidence kicking back in. The Dow was up over 200 points most of the day. Crude oil was up over $2 a barrel for most of the day. So, we're seeing some enthusiasm come into the marketplace. Commodity funds were a buyer of 5,000 contracts of beans, 5,000 contracts of corn, and sellers on the wheat as we moved into midday there, so we'll see what turnaround Tuesday comes in effect or not.
Yeah, what are you expecting? Will turnaround Tuesday starting this evening push the market a bit lower?
Well, I think we'll try to open a little firmer here. We'll see what the afternoon's news is, but we're getting up against some resistance levels, particularly December corn chart. Quite a few technicians are looking at the chart formations there. If you pull up the December corn chart, you'll see the market's trying to carve out some type of head and shoulders bottom. If December corn futures can push through this 92 area, maybe close above there, there's ideas maybe we can run up to this 410, 420 area from a technical perspective. You know, commodity funds are short the market, and if they have some technical reasons and a little fundamental help, maybe we could see a little bit of a price bump here as we go into the first part of March.
Do you think there was much farmer selling in this market today? If there was, it managed to hold awfully well.
I think there was. I don't think there was a tsunami of grain move, but I think producers have been pushing grain out the doors. We've been moving along. It varies from location to location. It seems like the most stubborn bullheaded. Most bullish producers continue to be in the Western Corn Belt. They're sort of dug in here and just waiting for some higher prices. So we'll see if that grain gets shook loose. And that's been the function of the market here, trying to shake grain loose in the Western Belt and move it to the east in here, where we're a little bit short, especially for these ethanol plants and some producers in the Far East also.
Is there any new news coming out of South America?
Well, overall, forecast, rains back and forth type of forecast. We'll see if the forecast turns wet and see harvest delays or not. For the most part, the yields we're hearing now are, fairly good. So as we move into the next month's monthly supply-demand report, we're expected to see those numbers remain strong for Brazil and Argentine production. We'll see how fast those beans become readily available on the marketplace. There's a whole bunch of boats lined up there to take beans from the southern hemisphere to Asia.
And then turn your attention to the livestock market. What have you been watching there closely?
Cattle and feed report, just about as expected. On feed numbers, not 100 plus, so it suggests that we're kind of on schedule through here. Market did price in some bullish momentum throughout the day, but when you look at the day's highs and where we're at this afternoon, kind of lost that momentum. So we kind of feel livestock values found the upper end of their trading range here for this week.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Looking forward to having you over at the Beef House on the 8th day of March and to seeing you this week at the Illinois Soybean Summit. That's in Peoria at the Civic Center. And then next week you'll be with me, too, in Springfield or near Springfield at the Farm Credit Illinois building in Sherman on the evening of March 1st. All good events to come and take a look at, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm going to go get a haircut this afternoon, so I look good for you, Todd.
You'll be all spiffed up. Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel, he's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and he will be traveling a lot with me over the next week or so. That first stop is at the Illinois Soybean Summit. That's Thursday at the Civic Center in Peoria. If you'd like to learn more about that, you can do so and sign up to register to go. It is free, so you can pick this up if you want right now at ilsoy.org. That's ilsoy.org or IllinoisSoybeanAssociation.org. It's an all-day event at the Civic Center in Peoria. The agenda is right there. Sign up. It's a good meal. We'll have a great day. Lots of really good speakers over at that event in Peoria. And I'll have three analysts with us over there. We're going to record Commodity Week. We won't be up on stage, but I'll make sure that you get introduced to Kurt Kimmel along with Chip Dellinger, who's with Blue Reef AgriMarket out of Morton, and from right there in Morton as well, Ellen Dearden of AgriView will be with us in Peoria on Thursday of this week. And then Tuesday of next week in the evening, that's the first, we'll be in Sherman at the Farm Credit Illinois building. This one's sponsored by U of I Extension, Logan County Farm Bureau, and then Farm Credit Illinois. This one's free, open to everybody, but they would like an RSVP. You can check out our calendar of events at willag.org to see that one. The following day, we will be in Litchfield. And that's at the Lincolnland Community College building. It's a fundraiser for the hospital in Litchfield. And we'll have at a couple of those, Dan Zwicker will be with us and Mike Zuzulo will be with us. So lots of events. Find them all online at willag.org. And then everybody will come together again over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on the 8th day of March. So that's the big one. Tickets are just $30. You can buy those online right now at willag.org or by calling 800-898-1065. It's all willag.org or 800-898-1065. Hope to see you at one of our events. They're coming up really fast and furious. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Grains Council is concerned about potential passage of the TPP in Washington, D.C., or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Alan Tiemann is of Seward, Nebraska, and a farmer, along with being the chair of the U.S. Grains Council. He says that's one of the topics stemming from the Council's annual International Marketing Conference held last week. And Tiemann says they see TPP as a great benefit to removing tariffs and opening markets for grain producers.
There's 12 countries involved in it right now, but there's other countries waiting in the wings wanting to be part of this trade policy. If we don't get this done, what will happen will be these countries will go ahead and have bilateral agreements and other trade agreements that the U.S. won't be part of. So it's really important that we be part of this and get it done.
Tiemann also says the group discussed ethanol exports and ramping that up in the coming years. He says China and Mexico show considerable promise in being customers for U.S. corn ethanol. On the subject of ethanol, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack says the conflict between agriculture and petroleum interest over the renewable fuels standard shows no signs of slowing. Vilsack thinks there will be constant litigation. Oil and biofuel industry advocates alike have filed numerous lawsuits over the RFS volume targets issued by EPA, or the Environmental Protection Agency, last November. Valero Energy, the third largest ethanol producer and the largest U.S. petroleum refiner, is the latest to file suit against the EPA. In November, EPA announced refiners must use 14.5 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol this year, below the 15 billion gallon mark as set within the RFS. However, the oil industry says that's above levels considered safe to use in engines, while biofuel proponents say that's below the target required by law. The EPA maintains it has the authority to set the volume targets based off the current market situation. Well, the DowDuPont merger will create three spinoffs and three new hometowns, actually three different headquarters buildings in some old hometowns. Following the merger, DowDuPont will separate into three businesses: agriculture, material sciences, and specialty products. The specialty products and agriculture units, whose names will feature DuPont, will be headquartered where DuPont is now headquartered in Wilmington, Delaware. And the Materials Sciences Company will be based in Midland, Michigan. That's Dow's current home, and it will, in fact, feature Dow's name in the company. The company will also operate two global business centers, one in Johnston, Iowa, and one in Indianapolis. Johnston, Iowa, of course, is headquarters for DuPont Pioneer. The split will likely occur within 2 years after the merger is completed, sometime later this year. Dow and DuPont agreed to an all-stock merger last year, valued at about $130 billion. Well, agriculture equipment manufacturer Deere & Company faces a third straight year of falling profits as farm income is suffering from an oversupply of crops. Farm income is down more than 50% over the last 3 years and predicted to drop by another 2% this year. The company said Friday net income in the 12 months through October will be about $1.3 billion. That's down from the most recent projection of $1.4 billion. The earlier prediction had a drop in equipment sales of 7%. However, the company now predicts sales will fall about 10% for this fiscal year. A Bloomberg analyst says the need to repair balance sheets and reduce inventories may defer equipment demand into 2017 for farmers. And finally today, on a related note, world oil prices and inputs for farmers could stay low for months, that based on current oversupply and daily production. 3 billion barrels of oil, enough to power the world for a month, is just sitting on tankers or in storage, and producing nations continue to flood markets with 2 million more barrels each day. Many banks now predict oil will stagnate in the $20 to $30 range for the rest of the year as Iran pumps more and Saudi Arabia, Russia, and others fail to cut production. American Farm Bureau senior economist Bob Young says these lowest oil prices in more than a decade are a double-edged sword.
On one hand, we kind of like to have oil prices low so that our energy costs are low and other energy-related costs are low. We've also got pretty good supplies on the natural gas front as well. So as an input for some fertilizers, that's a nice thing. The downside, though, is that we are using about 5 billion bushels of corn for ethanol production, and so we'd kind of like to be able to keep ethanol prices up or, reasonably nice.
Young says ethanol producers have a fixed cost right now of 19 to 20 cents a gallon.
Right now, most of the markets that I'm looking at are saying that they're making about, 23, 24 cents or so a gallon. And so a fixed cost of 19 cents a gallon, that kind of eats into most of their profit margins at this stage of the game.
And Young says low gas prices are chilling investment in ethanol plants and sidelining some existing ones. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, the price of corn has traded in a 25-cent range over the last couple of months, and the price of soybeans, it's traded within a 40-cent range. The sideways price pattern reflects ongoing expectations of adequate supplies of both crops, writes Daryl Good on the FarmDoc Daily website. He says there's plenty to meet consumption needs during the current marketing year, but that the pace of consumption is continually monitored by the market to determine if those expectations should be altered. For corn, he says the pace of consumption can be monitored on a weekly basis for exports and ethanol production. The pace of feed and residual use is revealed on a quarterly basis with the release of the USDA grain stocks report. For soybeans, the pace of consumption can be monitored on a weekly basis for exports and on a monthly basis for the domestic crush. Well, the USDA now projects 2015-16 marketing year corn exports at 1.65 billion bushels. With about 28 weeks left in the marketing year, exports need to run at roughly 38 million a week to make that goal. Of that 38 average, about 20 million bushels will need to be new sales, or those not already on the books. By way of example, new sales for the 5 weeks ended February 11 averaged 35.9 million bushels of corn per week. So the recent pace of new sales is encouraging. And then, says Good, as it relates to corn usage, there is ethanol. Corn used for production of ethanol and co-products during the current year is projected at 5.225 billion bushels. That's 16 million more than consumed last year. In addition, sorghum used for ethanol production is expected to be up 75 million bushels year over year. So total feedstock use then is expected to be about 1.7% higher. Ethanol production during the first 5.5 months of the marketing year are about 2.4% larger than during the same period last year, but that margin has narrowed in recent weeks. So corn used for ethanol production during the last half of the year will be influenced by the magnitude of domestic gasoline consumption, ethanol exports, and sorghum use. Corn use for the year will likely be reasonably close to the USDA projections, thanks Good. Corn consumption, then, is on target at this point, with the next big piece of the puzzle to be delivered at the end of March. The quarterly grain stocks report will outline how much corn has been fed to livestock. Soybean consumption is a bit easier to follow. USDA projects soybean exports of 1.69 billion bushels, of which about 1.4 billion have probably already shipped. It leaves around 300 million bushels to ship, or about 11 million bushels a week, and only 2.2 million of those need to be new sales each week. And while export sales can be canceled or carried to the following year, it appears that soybean exports will reach or slightly exceed the current USDA projection. That's the good news side of the soybean consumption pattern. The not-so-friendly news comes on the domestic front. The pace of soybean consumption in the U.S. has slowed, that based on numbers from the National Oilseed Processors, or NOPA. It may fall a bit short. However, taken together, Darrell Good says the current pace of corn and soybean exports and domestic processing do not alter expectations for ample year-ending stocks of both crops and support the continuation of a sideways price pattern. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. The folks at the Andersons are busy this afternoon and not available for us. However, I do have their bids for the day. Corn on the spot month is a nickel over. Soybeans on the spot month, a 7 under at this time. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. That with the guys up at Wrist Pulse. They're in Chicago, Illinois. In the mean space, please do visit our website, the address willag.org. Get your tickets for the all-day ag outlook.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Margarita Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1630, popcorn was introduced to the colonists by Native Americans for the first Thanksgiving dinner. Native Americans were growing it for more than 1,000 years before the arrival of European explorers. By the way, in 1964, scientists digging in southern Mexico found a small cob of popcorn that was 7,000 years old. In 1857, Heinrich Hertz was born, a German physicist. He was the first to broadcast and receive radio waves. In 1879, Woolworth's, the first chain store, opened in Utica, New York. In 1900, Paul Colesman was born. A German-American engineer, he invented the world's first accurate barometric altimeter. The invention played a major role in establishing routine air service and thus trade around the world. In 1925, Sir Thomas Clifford Allbutt died, an English physician. He invented the short 6-inch clinical thermometer. Before that, a foot-long thermometer was used that took 20 minutes to determine a patient's temperature. And in 1987, Andy Warhol died, an American painter of the pop art movement in the 1960s. He made paintings of Campbell's soup cans, Coca-Cola cans, and other American products. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
On the closing market report, let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. What a gorgeous weekend we had, although I think by the time we get to Tuesday and Wednesday, not so pretty.
Yeah, quite a bit of variety of weather here in a short amount of time. And yeah, after this past weekend's just gorgeous weather here. That's going to be changing. We do have a storm system that's going to be intensifying across the southern plains and the mid-south region here tomorrow before tracking up towards the eastern Great Lakes tomorrow night on into Wednesday. And that's going to produce a round of precipitation, some of it frozen in nature here across areas of Illinois. It does look like the main snows will be in areas of central southern Illinois, and that extends back southwestward, but then also central northern Indiana into Michigan. That looks to be the main track of this system and thus the higher snow swath. And it looks right now, it looks like within that zone, snow will be in the order of generally 2 to 8 inches with some localized heavier amounts. But there's been a lot of changes as far as model guidance with the exact track of the storm. And this dates back all the way to late last week, Thursday, Friday. Initially, it looked like the storm would produce more significant snows much further to the east. But then that dramatically shifted westward over the weekend. But even with that, the track has shifted quite a bit. That confidence in snow totals at any one specific area is pretty difficult. But looking at it from a more macro point of view, at least within that zone here, you can expect anywhere from 2 to 8 inches. And as it looks right now from overall, the area that looks to receive the highest nodal totals look to be kind of central northern Indiana through southern Michigan.
I'm going to push the multiple choice button for the 2 inches as opposed to the 8 inches at this time. Hey, turn your attention out west. Wheat came out of dormancy. Looking forward, any concern that we will dip cold enough to bother that at all?
Not at the present time here, but the fact that, especially in the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, the crop coming out of dormancy about a month earlier than what it normally does, it just makes the crop more vulnerable, even to kind of quote-unquote normal cold air mass that usually occurs during the month of March. So at least for the next couple of weeks, we do not see anything exceptionally cold coming in or temperatures dropping down to levels that would be problematic to the growing winter wheat crop, but certainly needs to be watched here closely as we go through the remainder of March and even beyond that time frame too. The other item to watch is that there have been some areas that have been on the dry side in portions of the plains, and that followed a very wet November, December, but parts of southwest Kansas down to the Texas Panhandle have received below normal precipitation, and some areas have not seen much, if any, precip over the past 6 weeks within those areas. So more rainfall is needed, especially as the crop's coming out of dormancy and crop moisture needs are increasing.
It's always good to talk with you. Thanks so much, Mark.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon. Buy your tickets for All Day Ag Outlook at willag.org.